Scott Laughlin. It's Kevin Bessler and joined on the line, State Senator Bill Brady. Good morning, Senator Brady.
Good morning, Scott.
Hey, why do you want to take our guns away? How about that for an opening line? How about that for
an opening? 7 a.m. on a Monday morning.
I think this mostly came from Chicago area Democrats anyway. Kind of fast lining some legislation. Let's talk about it and how you feel about what's been done so far. Bump stocks. Let's just start there. That seems like a no-brainer.
Well,
bump stocks.
Yeah, most of these measures have started in the House. The two issues that we dealt with in the Senate, one was a licensing bill that I voted against because we already have federal licensing. It would have put small gun shops at a disadvantage to the larger ones like Walmart and Dick's, as well as, I think, just overregulation, overreach on the part of people trying to, you know, do everything they can to destroy Second Amendment rights. The second issue we dealt with in the Senate was an issue that dealt with taking people's guns away based on certain accusations without due process, which I felt was unconstitutional. Those were the two issues we dealt with in the Senate. The House is working on some bills that I believe they're passing over, and I haven't had a chance to look at them in detail, but I'm happy to talk to them about the concept.
Just your general feeling, is there any legislation that you could do outside of banning all weapons that would stop these mass shootings?
Well, you know, there is a problem in society. I think the best focus we can have is the area of mental health. I think we've got a lot of gun laws in the books, and I'm always willing to look at something that would, you know, create an environment that reduce an environment we don't need. But these folks, typically, by and large, are folks who either have a history of mental illness that needs to be dealt with, or would break the law regardless of what the law was.
So
I've asked my colleagues in the Senate to particularly work on what can be done in the area of mental health. Unfortunately, there aren't any easy answers, but these are situations that we have to try to proactively prevent by looking at areas in which we can do it.
We know how you vote on things. We don't know what the governor, what his take is on any of this. He doesn't talk about it.
Well, the governor has talked. I've had numerous conversations with him. He's a strong supporter of the Second Amendment. I think, like me, he believes that there are areas that we need to work on, particularly in the areas of mental health. He realizes that you can make things illegal, but most crimes are committed by people who act illegally anyway. And that's the dilemma. But the governor's—he's looking very serious at these. He is a strong supporter of the Second Amendment, and he, like a lot of us, scratching his head, saying, "Do more laws solve the problems, or is this just another Democratic ploy to try to distract voters on real issues?" Let's take an issue that I am a little bit familiar with. There's an issue, and I don't know how it's the final language, but it was to make body armor, which is armor that would prevent bullets from, if you would be a felon if you used it. I was with both the Cardinal last week from Chicago, and he was talking about these important measures to him, public safety particularly, in general. And I said, the law they've crafted says that if someone like Your Eminence was believed to be in a dangerous position or to wear body armor, you would be guilty of a felony trying to protect yourself.
For simply wearing body armor?
Yeah, that was one of the provisions introduced last week.
Then I misunderstood. I thought it was wearing body armor while committing a crime.
We tried to get them to look at that language. Many of these proposals were, most of them were put in place without any discussions with us, and they were severely flawed. But that's how, that was what one draft of the legislation had. Mm.
All right, let's just run down bump stocks. It's simply just bump stocks, and I know people try to tie or add on to legislation, and it makes it impossible to vote for something that seems like a no-brainer. But are you okay with outlawing bump stocks?
I am, but I don't think it'll solve the problem.
No, I know. I know. I don't either, because and I think we had an Illinois legislator. Well, you would know. Something like that should be a national law anyway, because I can go to Indiana or Wisconsin and get a bump stock. Unless right. You made it illegal to possess one, I suppose.
Absolutely.
How about increasing the time between purchasing a gun and receiving the gun?
I think certain limitations are reasonable. You got to get into the details. But, you would like to think that if you could prevent people from hastily making decisions to buy and then acting in an illegal way, if that would help. So certain limitations, I think, are reasonable.
What else did they I'm sitting here looking at the House. The 72-hour waiting period, the bump stocks. And how about your thoughts on being 21 before you could purchase a semi-automatic rifle?
You know, again, we've got 18-year-olds in the military who are trained. I think more so than age restrictions, there needs to be training assurances would be a more appropriate way to look at this if you were to ask me.
And I'll ask the question, and I think I'm going to get the – I know I've asked you this before – banning the sale of these assault-type weapons. I'll use AR-15, for example. Is it 15?
Yes.
AR-15. Just make them illegal.
Yeah. Again, I understand the thought here, but in my opinion, it goes back to training and mental illness is a better place to focus.
All right. What else? Hey, how about the you voted no against allowing on the ballot a non-binding referendum, a question, and that is to legalize marijuana for recreational use.
Yeah,
you voted no on that.
I think there's more important things. I think we know there's enough polling data out there that tells us what people think on this issue. The issue to me is focusing more on what medicine, doctors, and law enforcement will tell me. So I know we know on a high-level question like that what the response is going to be, and there's more important things to focus on.
Opioid crisis.
That's one of them.
Yeah.
That's a serious issue that...
I'm surprised it's not getting more play.
I just talked to someone yesterday who... I called to say I'm sorry to hear about your son, and who passed away of an overdose. And I was just came from Washington, D.C., where I was visiting with the acting Secretary of Health and Human Services, who announced in his discussion that, you know, for the first time in several years, they are reducing the estimated lifespan in America. Solely because of, and in the past, they did this because of wars and other things, but solely because of the problem we're having with drug addiction and overdose. It is probably the biggest medical crisis facing us in a very long time. Too many people are affected by it. The detail, and we've got, the governor's asked us to begin the process of looking into everything that can be done. So we're visiting with medicine, and one of the problems medicine's told me there is that they have an obligation to eliminate pain when it comes to healing. And so this crisis in drug addiction, particularly, that begins in a very legal way, is going to have to be dealt with.
Hey, President Trump has the answer. He's suggesting executing dealers would help solve the opioid crisis. How about that?
Well, cracking down on illegal drug trafficking is certainly part of it, to the point that you're going to execute. I think you have to be very careful when it comes to the death penalty.
We're losing the war on drugs. This would nip it in the bud. You start eliminating these people, telling you things would change. Nobody asks me, though. No one asks me. Hey, and
now we know.
Well, you know, remember when I was running for president of the United States, I proposed electric bleachers so there would be no waiting. There would be no death row. That would death row would have people waiting. No, electric bleachers. You didn't like that one either, did you?
That was under your compassionate conservative.
I was going to start out with like an electric ottoman or something, you know, and go to a Davenport before moving on to the bleachers. Didn't get any traction, though. And finally, like you didn't want to, you've got other things to worry about here. You guys are addressing the problem we have with CTE, and you had a panel last week, albeit a very narrow vote of, 11-9, ban football for kids under the age of 12. Now, we're talking full contact football for kids under the age of 12. How do you feel about that? Is that something the government should be involved in?
Well, as an alumnus of the Knocker football program, I think it's more important things to deal with. Now, I understand the serious nature of injury and so forth, but I'll tell you, I think extracurricular activities like sports do a lot more good than harm, and I think we should leave up to parents to make those decisions, not the place for government.
All right. Anything else you wanted to? I got a minute left. You got anything you wanted to bring up?
No, we got a lot of work to do. Some elections that are right around the corner that I know people are looking forward to getting beyond and moving on to some real work in Springfield after the election. And I think the governor has laid a budget out that can move this state forward. So we'll begin the process and hopefully we'll be able to go beyond partisan victory and pass a balanced budget for the people of this state, as well as some other needed reforms to bring jobs. You know, we're one of the lucky areas under the governor's leadership and others, we've been able to secure places like Rivian and Brandt Industries, but there's a lot of places in Illinois that need more tools to compete with other areas of the state. So there's a lot to do, and We're going to get to work at it.
Yeah. Well, with the addition of Rivian and Brandt, we're not keeping up with the elimination of jobs at State Farm. What are you hearing there? Anything?
Well, I think State Farm is doing what we would hope any good corporation would do, and that is try to make their ship and the financials within theirs well. They've committed, every discussions I've had, be it with Michael Tipsort or anybody else, they've committed to their presence. And if you read between the lines, which I like when I do in this case, that is they own a lot of real estate in McLean County, and the other real estate that they're using is not necessarily owned as particularly as long-term. So I don't see any reason State Farm won't home, and as they sell, Mother Hub won't continue to be Bloomington Normal. I take them at their word when they say they're going to maintain a workforce of 15,000. So That's a lot of lot to be thankful for. We've just got to grow our community in some other areas.
Yeah, I hope you're right. Are you endorsing anyone for governor? We're about, a little over 2 weeks away?
Yeah, I've endorsed Governor Rauner. I think in spite of, you know, the veto that Mike Madigan's held on this state for decades, whether it be a Republican or a Democratic governor, Governor Rauner's done more than anybody to take on that challenge and move many areas of the state forward. And is the commitment and the ability not only to win the election, but to move our state forward better than anybody else.
All right, Bill Brady, we'll let you go with that and talk to you next month.
Good to hear from you, and thanks to your listener, Scott, and we'll know more next month.